It's that time of the year. Your vacation is coming up. You can already hear the beach waves, feel the warm breeze, relax, and think about work. You really, really want it all to work out while you're away. Monday.com gives you and the team that peace of mind. When all work is on one platform and everyone's in sync, things just flow. Wherever you are, tap the banner to go to Monday.com.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Welcome to episode 28 of the official Geek Speak podcast. I am your host, Shantanamo Bay. That's not probably not a good thing. And joined as always, it's my co-host, Josh Fresca Boy Rudy Rudolph. This is the podcast. This is the podcast.
This is a podcast.
This is the podcast where we watch movies, make movies, play games, and more. What else can you ask for, Josh? What can you ask for? What else? Is that it? Are you happy?
Bagels.
So you want to add bagels to the podcast now?
I mean, we can.
In what sense?
I mean, there's everything bagels. There's blueberry bagels. There's a lot of different bagels.
So we should start eating bagels on the podcast now?
I mean, we can. It's not gonna be entertaining to the listener, but I mean, we can do it.
It has some crunch.
Exactly.
That's what else you can ask for. So now the question should go away forever now. I'm so sorry. I'll change the intro. If you're a new listener, thank you for listening. This is one of the few episodes in a while that Josh and I are in person together, which is great. We're having a good time today.
Yeah.
We're recording this. Tomorrow's my birthday, so it'll be fun. That's why he's here in person. We're hanging out for that. But it's also time to talk about news, because news happened in the world of geeky, nerdy, fun pop culture. And then after that, instead of our usual Disney Channel movie reaction, review, fun chat, interpretation, whatever, we are talking about two main topics, both around the MCU, with all of She-Hulk as a show and the movie special thing, Werewolf by Night, which is feature length. I'm surprised it's not just called a movie at this point, because it's 55 minutes. And we're ending the show, like always, with our super weird stories. And it should be a jolly good time. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm excited.
I am too.
Let's talk about some sad news, though, first. We had this week two deaths.
Very close to each other, and very big and very sad.
Angela Lansbury passed away, who you might know, for all of our younger viewers, as from Bedknobs and Broomsticks, for one thing, but also in Beauty and the Beast. She is Mrs. Potts, not to be confused with Pepper Potts. That's a different pot. She was fantastic, great voice, great performer, both on screen and voiceover work, and she'll be sorely missed. And I know my partner, for one thing, who's a huge Disney fan, is really, really sad about this. Like, her favorite movie of all time is Beauty and the Beast, and that's really hard.
Mm-hmm.
I think one that affects both Josh and I a bit more than that is the death of Robbie Coltrane, who played Rubeus Hagrid, Keeper of Games. Nope. Yes. Keeper of keys and game at Hogwarts. Because game is meat. He keeps the animals.
He does.
But that was a very tragic loss. Despite our views on the creator of Harry Potter, J.K. Rowling, who's a piece of shitbag. And a lot of bad things in those books. There's also a lot of good things in those books as well as great performances all around from the cast of the movies. And Robbie Coltrane did a phenomenal job.
Mm-hmm. Very, very sad. I woke up and I saw it. I'm like, oh, this is going to be a fun day of sadness. Very sad day.
So, nay on this news.
Big nay. Not a fan.
We give yay and nay to every piece of news because most things in life are subjective and not objective. However, this is kind of subjectively just sad.
Yeah.
I don't like this.
Not a fan either.
Death keeps happening.
It's weird.
And then, of course, in the Deathly Hallows, people keep bringing up the audio of in the Deathly Hallows Part 2. He gave an interview about how Harry Potter will last beyond him, and in about 50 years, he won't be here anymore, but his kids will be, and their kids, and everyone's family will live on.
It was actually from the 20th anniversary special they did last year.
That's right.
So it makes it even sadder.
That's really sad. I'm glad he was there for that.
Yeah.
But that's tragic. Moving on to different, less sad, but also sad news, not about death. I know, what a wonderful segue. It involves Cartoon Network. So a lot of people got confused about this news and think that Cartoon Network, the channel, is going away. That's not correct. Cartoon Network Studios, which is a company inside of the channel that does a lot of in-house animation work. You might be familiar with shows like Over the Garden Wall and other shows that use that studio to animate from as a company, and that is changing. They are consolidating. Cartoon Network Studios, as you know it, is gone for good, thanks to David Zaslav, the current, I think, CEO of WB, and he's changing things. He's consolidating all of it, and this is a huge news piece because it's a bit of an interesting sign for the future of just consolidating more and more things like this.
It's just in his never-ending quest to just screw over anyone and everyone that works for them, and just being like, we need to save money, so let's destroy the company from the inside out, and let's piss off everyone in the meantime. Literally, again, like with every decision he has made, this does not do anything but hurt the image of the company. And yet he keeps doing it, just to save some money. And yet it's also costing them a lot of money for doing this.
I'm not happy with this news.
Oh no, it's total BS. I hate it.
Nay.
Yeah, I'll give it an A too.
But on other news involving a different competing studio to Cartoon Network is Nickelodeon.
Oh yeah, they exist.
And in Nickelodeon, they created what I think is the best show of all time, Avatar The Last Airbender. And this week, we actually have Avatar The Last Airbender news. Not about the live-action show, but about Avatar Studios, the show run by Mike and Brian, who created the show, and they created Korra. They are working on new things. They found their studio for the new Avatar animated movie about the adult gang. If you've not watched Avatar The Last Airbender, you might want to skip this section and go to the next thing. There's timestamps down below. There'll be some minor spoilers for the show as a whole. Here's a quick warning. Cool. Skip ahead. Good show.
Eh, pretty fine. It's okay.
It's whatever. It's my favorite show of all time. I think it's phenomenal. I'm still mad at my college for stealing my Avatar The Last Airbender Funko Pops.
I forgot about that.
I don't have them now. I can go and rant about that later, but I'm upset. Spaghetti. We had this show. Well, this is an animated movie that will focus on Aang, Momo, of course, because Momo is still alive when they're adults. So Momo has a long lifespan. I love that. Aang, Momo, Katara, Toph, Zuko, and Sokka will be the main focus of this, other than in their 20s. Things like a Friends-style adventure, I think.
Nothing but happiness and fun vibes.
I'm sure things will go wrong, because, as they always do.
What do you mean? Nothing can ever go wrong.
It'll be during, I think, around the formation of Republic City, I think, or during that time of it already recently formed. But I am glad that this is being made. And they found their studio. They're going to Flying Bark, which is, they made the Rise of the TMNT movie.
Ooh, that's cool.
And they did What If for Marvel Studios.
Okay, so they have good good expertise in both hand-drawn and CG animation. Okay.
Yes. And they'll animate the 2D Avatar films coming to theaters starting 2024. Coming to theaters, we're getting Avatar films, Josh.
I'm gonna put a pin in that, and we're gonna see if it actually will.
That's something that Brian Konietzko is very, very adamant about.
I'm all for it. It's about Paramount is all for it. They say it now, but things can change.
I'm wondering why they didn't go to the same studios they already did for the shows, like the ones in Korea.
Maybe they could just be busy.
That's true. People be busy.
There's a lot of animes being made right now, made by very few studios, so they're very overworked.
Yeah, but yay on this cool news, and they found their studio, and it's a good studio so far. I don't necessarily love What If as a show, but I do like that the animation was well-crafted.
Mm-hmm. You need to watch the Rise of TMNT movie.
I plan on it. I'm excited for it. Other questionable animation news about the Mario movie. The Mario movie as a whole is a question mark. That's what I'm saying.
What do you mean? It's the greatest movie of all time.
We haven't seen it yet, Josh.
It's the greatest movie of all time. Calling it now.
Mushroom Kingdom.
That could not have been more perfectly timed.
If it didn't pick up on the microphone, I burped as I said here.
Don't finish the quote. You don't need to.
Here we come. Oh my god.
That was great.
Why is he not saying, let's-a-go?
It's the first trailer. It doesn't bother me. Anyway, just think it's really funny.
The news about this movie is that Keegan-Michael Key says in an interview that for Variety, he improvised a song for Toad in the Mario movie. I am so loving that.
I'm down for anything he does.
And he's trying with his voice. Everyone else, we saw Bowser, we saw the King of the Penguins. Everyone so far is trying, besides Chris Pratt.
I'm going to go out on a limb here and say that there was, like, you know, different, they tried different variations, and it could have just been, like, you know, the Brooklyn-type accent is the one that he could do the best. I'm willing to bet they tried Italian. I'm going to go on a limb here and say that. Again, it's Chris Pratt as Mario. It's exactly what I thought it was going to be, so it doesn't bother me.
He should have been aggressively Italian.
So stereotypically Italian.
No. True Italian, but also aggressive and angry the whole time. I want, or angry New York plumber Italian.
So Bob Hoskins.
Bring back Bob Hoskins as Mario.
Even though Bob Hoskins is Australian.
Bring Joe Pesci. Honestly, that would have worked.
Joe Pesci, Robert De Niro, like there's Al Pacino. There's a lot of people that you could get that would be fun. They wouldn't know what a Mario is, but I think they'd do it.
But yay on this news about Keegan-Michael Key.
Yay.
So moving on from Keegan singing a tune on stage of the recording studio, we have other news that is typically animation news involving Transformers. But this is a live-action thing, maybe, again? Is it live-action? Mm-hmm. Yeah. With the weirdest casting news I've heard in a while. What I do, and when again, when I first saw this picture, like Josh said earlier to me, I also thought these people were dating. Because I saw Michelle Yeoh and Pete Davidson, and my first thought was, who is he fucking now? But they've both been cast in Transformers Rise of the Beasts, which is confusing. Not just because of the casting, because Josh told me earlier that Haley Steinfeld is rumored to be in the movie as well.
Still waiting on confirmation for that.
I want to just double check that I'm not crazy right now. One second. Yeah, cool. Awesome. Rise of the Beasts is a sequel to Bumblebee.
Okay.
And is serving as a tribute to Beast Wars. Oy vey.
I mean, I'll take that rather than the confusing timeline of the original series.
No. Okay. So. What? It's going to have humans? Maximals, which are the Beast former. The Beasties. Terracons, which I don't even get into. And Autobots.
Aren't the Terracons the dinosaur ones?
Yeah, I like them. I like Grimlock. He's fine. But, look, okay.
Just because the timeline is confusing doesn't mean it has to be.
Right. The maximum... Oh, wait, Michelle Yeoh's playing Aerosort? Hold on.
My only things of Transformers I know are the Michael Bay movies. I've heard of Beast Wars, and I vaguely know what it is. So, yes, this is weird. But it's still not as weird as whatever Michael Bay was doing in his films.
Hold on, I might have... You know, Rob Perlman's going to be in this movie.
Perfect. Wonderful.
He's playing, basically, Optimus Primal, so the gorilla Optimus Prime.
Perfect.
Isn't that amazing?
That is perfect casting.
Anthony Ramos is Noah in this. Pete Davidson is Mirage. Dominique Fishbach is Alina. And Michelle Yeoh is Aerosaur. Nay, because the Beasts are supposed to be before the Autobots exist, really, in this form. Weird. Josh, what are you on your phone for?
I was looking up who made the movie.
Ah, well, who is it?
The director of Creed 2, Stephen Caple Jr.
Why?
Why not?
Got a gig and figured I can do something fun with it, I'm guessing.
I mean, the director of Bumblebee made Kubo and the Two Strings, going from stop motion to live action.
Another news. Adam is safe. What are... Oh! Adam Sandler is with the Safdie brothers for another movie.
Cool.
He did Uncut Gems, which is a fantastic movie, and the first movie that made me believe that Adam Sandler could act.
I remember when I showed you guys, you and Taj, the trailer for it, you were like, I don't know how to feel about that. Am I supposed to take it seriously? I'm like, yes!
It... It's great. Great movie, and I'm... The Safdies also did many other films so far at this point that have been good.
Yeah, they directed Good Time, Uncut Gems. Benny also does a lot of acting, so you've probably seen him in stuff like Licorice Pizza or The Kenobi Show for the one episode he was in.
He's weird in Licorice Pizza.
It's a weird movie. It's a
weird movie. Bradley Cooper in that movie is very uncomfortable.
He should have won an Oscar.
Yay.
I give yay.
Good Time is good.
I like Adam Sandler starting to actually go more towards dramatic stuff. His Netflix movie, Hustle, very good.
He's not bad in the one with Jennifer Aniston on the boat.
Murder Mystery?
Yeah.
I think they're working on a sequel for that, I think.
It's not amazing, but it was fun.
Yeah.
I don't mind a two-hour killer.
Look, if he's moving away from his bad comedies into this, I think that's a fantastic career move for him.
But the fact that he got millions to go to a tropical area with his buddies and to be his kiss a hot woman for a week, a month on end, and then just be rich for a while, and then keep doing it again? What was this scam?
So, look, a lot of times he would pick his movies based off of like where he could vacation.
I know! And he just bring his friends and put them in the movie. That's wild. And it kept working. Anyway, yay!
I give yay.
Oh, we got the trailer for another live actional thing with Ryan Reynolds and Will Ferrell called Spirited. It's going to be on Apple TV. It's a show?
Movie.
Movie, that's better. I'm glad it's not like a whole 9-20 episode of show or something. No, it would not carry that long. Octavia Spencer's in it. That's crazy. Mm-hmm. The trailer's fun. Tap dancing happens, and then they say, I was just following you. You're tap dancing? I didn't know how to do that. And Will Ferrell's a ghost.
It is a musical modern-day version of A Christmas Carol, with Ryan Reynolds being the Scrooge-type character and Will Ferrell being the spirit of Christmas present.
What's funny is that A Christmas Carol in this universe exists. Like, the book exists. Or it actually happened. So in this world, A Christmas Carol was a non-fiction story. It was someone just telling a biography, like, this is what happened. Charles Dickens was not lying.
So does every Christmas Carol movie that came out since the book, are those all technically biopics?
No. They're fictional retellings of the non-fictional event, and this movie just happens to have the same thing happen again.
Look, Ryan Reynolds and Will Ferrell are starring in a musical. I'm not going to think about the logic behind it.
Percy Jackson!
He's a boy.
You're observant.
I'm aware.
He's got black hair usually.
He doesn't in this. I know people are going to be mad about it.
Oh no, what a nightmare. We got three casting news. We got Medusa, played by Jessica Parker Kennedy, who I first read as Sarah Jessica Parker, which is a very different person. And we got Adam Copeland, who's playing Ares, who's also a wrestler. And I showed you...
That actually fits perfect for how Ares is.
That's what he looks like normally.
Perfect. That's almost exactly what I read Ares as in the book.
He's very aggressive. And it seems great. And then Suzanne Cryer will play Echidna. Cool.
Don't really know who Echidna is, but cool. Didn't they also announce Clarice?
Yeah, that's a while ago.
Was it?
Uh-huh.
Oh.
And she is swole.
Good, she should be. She's the daughter of Ares.
I thought Echidna... Hold on. I just read this book recently. Am I dumb? Yeah. That's what I thought. Echidna is the one. She's the creature at the giant hoop.
the St. Louis Arch?
That's the one. She's the thing on the top with the pet dog.
Oh, and okay.
She goes crazy, and then Percy jumps into the river that's like many miles away.
It's fine. I just can't wait to see how they show visually, like, the whole mist stuff of, like, what the humans see. It better be something so stupid and so funny.
Literal mist. Just flows. That fresca's spicy. Make me burp. Oh, God.
Fresca's spicy.
It's not literally spicy, but it made me burp a lot, so I'm calling it bubbly. That's a better word. That's how it works. Cool, all this casting. That's great. This show has not disappointed me at all yet in any casting.
No. Casting is all on point.
Especially the gods. Jesus Christ. They're fantastic. They didn't. Pun intended with Jesus Christ.
They haven't announced Poseidon yet, right?
No.
Then I think if they haven't announced it yet, then it's probably Logan.
That doesn't make sense, though.
Shh, it's fine.
All the other gods are, like, twice his age.
It's fine.
And they also not announced Athena. I'm like, are they going to do the same? They just had repeat castings from the movie?
Honestly, I wouldn't be mad at that.
It doesn't make sense.
It's kids that had never seen the original movies are going to see it and be like, cool. And people that watch it will be like, hey, I recognize them. I think they've realized now, no matter what they announce, people are going to get mad.
Right. Yay on this news.
Yeah.
So, spoilers here, potentially, for Black Adam. If you want to go in this movie completely blind, there's timestamps down below. You can skip the next section. Okay. Josh, there have been leaks.
There's always leaks.
It looks like there's pictures of Superman on Black Adam in the post-credits scene.
Sounds about right.
And all he says is, we need to talk.
Other people are being just like, it's like the greatest post-credits scene ever. And he says one line. I mean, I get the whole idea behind it, but I just find it funny. People are like, people talk about it for weeks.
The best part about it to me is in the leaked picture, the emblem's bigger on his chest. Because Man of Steel is okay, and Beagle has shrinked a little bit. Now it's like actually full size chest, I'm like beautiful art. I'm like, thank you. The logos on people's chests should be big.
I thought that it was decently sized.
I can show you the picture when you do that. If you want to see the leak, or do you want to wait?
Well, no. Not that. I'm talking about the original like logo he had.
It's bigger. And it's golder. Like the yellow is a better yellow. It's like a mustardy gold yellow. Anyway, Superman's probably going to be in Black Adam now. But also, Dwayne, on the interview he did, hinted at it. You know, Black Adam is the most powerful person on this planet. But, which is not true.
No.
It's not even true.
Again, Shazam has the same powers as you, my guy.
His entire family has very similar powers to you. The Justice League overall has a very... whatever. Which also hints that Superman was off-world because he said that.
Look, they're going to find some BS excuse when he finally gets a sequel in 5 years.
They said that... Dwayne said in the interview also, but the most powerful person in this universe has been on the sidelines for far too long. Oh, you mean Martian Manhunter?
Green Lantern? Green Lantern?
Darkseid?
there's a couple... Cyborg?
There's a lot of powerful people... You mean the Atom, right? You mean the Atom. Oh, you mean Atomic Man? Oh, no. Have you...
There's a lot.
Oh, you mean Rorschach, Noah Centineo? Oh, God.
I read comics. You know, Rorschach should definitely be on our team. Oh, no, you both missed the point of that book and just comics.
Did I record?
Please tell me you did.
Yes.
Okay, good.
I wanted to double check that. Yeah, Noah Centineo interview was asked on the red carpet, who would you want to join the JSA? He only could think of Watchmen characters, and he only thought of Rorschach.
He seems like the kind of person that Watchmen would be one of the few comic book movies he had seen.
And what's funny about that also is he was then asked, who you want to go up against? Who's a good match for Adam Smasher? He's like, I don't know, man. He's like, come on, anyone in the DC universe. He was really pressed hard for it. He's like, you know, I think the Justice League would be a good fight, but like, let's leave it up to Dwayne to decide that. I'm like, what are you talking about? First off, the entire league, each of them would be a bad match for you. They'd all beat you, besides Bruce. Bruce would get squashed. But the rest of them are at least durable enough that they won't get squashed by you.
And why would a hero team fight another hero team?
Well, Adam Smasher has been both a villain and a hero. But yes.
I can't see Noah as a villain.
I can't see him as an actor. Here's the thing. I don't like Noah Centineo. I do not like Noah Centineo's performances.
I think he's serviceable for teen rom-coms. He gives exactly what they need. But right now, I think there's a reason that they've barely shown him in any trailers or anything.
My first exposure to Noah Centineo was in The Perfect Date.
Oh, that's a mistake.
Which is a painfully average film. And then I'm like, oh, maybe he's better than other stuff. I saw him in other stuff.
I first saw him in the first To All the Boys movie. I thought it was fine in that. And then he kept showing up in other things. I'm like, please... Stop.
No, Noah, I think you need a better agent.
Yes.
That's mostly what it is. You might be great in this movie.
I want to know how you got this movie, though. That's what makes me very curious.
Because I'm sure you're actually a great actor. I think a lot of great actors are put in bad roles and make them look bad.
That's true.
I'm not trying to just trash you as an actor. I'm sure you're great. Maybe. I'm actually not sure about anyone in Hollywood. But you're probably a great person. My issue comes down to the roles you're playing. But maybe read a comic book if you're to play a comic book character.
Just a few. At least the ones that you're in.
Well, that's a lot.
That's why I said a few.
Now it's time for our news about Blade.
Oh, yeah. The Vampire Boy.
We talked about this last episode about Blade, and now we have more Blade news, and it looks like it's more and more confirmed that Blade is now officially shut down all of pre-production, and they're looking for a new director, and they're developing the script completely. But the news about this is that, not really news, that Mahershala Ali is still on board, and he is not leaving this project, and he'll have a major part in shaping the film's new direction now.
All right.
He's a great actor. I'm sure he's a great creative person overall, and I'm excited for this.
I'm happy that Marvel is actually being like, okay, let's take the time and let's figure this out, how to make it the best possible thing it can be.
Because I'm sure when he called Feige, when he won his Oscar, he was not expecting it to be this spread thin at this point.
Well, because I think at that point, like, the shows hadn't been created yet.
No.
And the timeline he was probably given was like, you know, it'll happen sometime soon. But then COVID happened and all that.
But with that and the pushback of Blade, they also, because it's one cog in the MCU machine, they had to push back all of the other dates. Unlike what DC does, I'm just kind of, you know, let's fuck around and find out.
Pushing back Deadpool surprised me.
It doesn't surprise me at all.
But that just makes me wonder, like, what do they have planned for that then?
Secret Wars.
Yeah, that's true.
that's the answer. They push back four films, push back Blade, Deadpool 3, Fantastic Four, and Avengers Secret Wars. And presumably more that are in that slate of Phase 6 that we have no idea what they are.
It kind of disappoints me now, though, that we're not getting two Avengers films in 1 year. I mean, it's good for, like, the effects artists to have more time, but, like, just imagine having two Avengers films in 1 year, though.
Just pause on all this stuff for a little bit. Give these VFX artists proper compensation, proper hours, proper time, and to make decent shows and movies. She-Hulk, some spots look a little rough. Scar, which we'll get to, looks a little rough. Sorry for vague MCU spoilers. If you listen to a podcast about superhero stuff, maybe you're caught up. Maybe you're not. I'm actually not caught up, technically speaking.
You still have to watch Moon Knight.
I still watch Ms. Marvel. Knight. I've watched half of Ms. Marvel.
You gotta finish Ms. Marvel.
I like it.
Don't finish it.
I'm going to. On the other news, we have Kang news.
Kang boy. That wasn't even a bit.
Wait, we'll be now. Welcome back, Kang boy.
Ant-Man's gonna die.
That's not even the news.
I know, but just the photo shoot Jonathan Majors did with Men's Health magazine, just being absolutely shredded. Everyone's just like, rip to Ant-Man.
The Kang we'll see in Ant-Man 3 is going to be a warrior variant.
Oh god, he really is gonna die.
So he is a variant that is a warrior version of Kang. So there's a focus on what the warrior would look like, who's been around through the ages and has developed every type of combat skill he could find. That's from Screen Rant reporting that. That's why he's so jacked right now.
That makes sense. So then it makes me curious then about Secret Wars and Kang Dynasty, of like how they're going to do the whole variants of him. If like every version we see is going to be a variant, or if we will just get like, you know, a definitive one to focus on.
I mean, technically we got different variants of Thanos. The two in each movie we see are different Thanoses, which is a little weird. This is cool.
Oh, yeah.
Jonathan Majors is going to have so much fun playing this part.
Oh, yeah. Just with his one, you know, technically one scene in Loki, like, you could tell, like, he's already going to have a great time.
As he who remains / Immortus / Kang Boy. He's only Kang Boy now. I'm excited for this. We have one last note for the news. Harrison Ford. We talked about it again in the last episode, last week, about Harry Ford and him maybe replacing William Hurt as Thaddeus Ross. And now it seems that he is confirmed, according to Collider.
Look, Harrison Ford, great actor. No one can deny that. I think he'll do great for the role. But I'm so excited for the press for this. He's going to hate every single second of it. It's going to be wonderful. He's going to hate it more than Star Wars.
So he is officially confirmed to be in Captain America New World Order. Not in Thunderbolts yet.
Okay.
But...
It's that time of the year. Your vacation is coming up. You can already hear the beach waves, feel the warm breeze, relax, and think about work. You really, really want it all to work out while you're away. Monday.com gives you and the team that peace of mind. When all work is on one platform and everyone's in sync, things just flow. Wherever you are, tap the banner to go to Monday.com.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. it's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Is Captain America New World Order the Hulk film now?
Because
it's the leader as the villain, who's a Hulk villain, with Thunderbolt Ross, a.k.a. the Red Hulk, as one of the now major characters in this movie.
I highly doubt they're going to put him in a mocap suit.
Please do that for Thunderbolts, though. They might make him Red Hulk and Thunderbolts if they keep him.
That one would make sense. I mean, having...
Actually, either could make sense. It could be... The plot is could end up being, during all the chaos of the world changing, we have the leader taking advantage of that and using gamma experiments during this time, capturing Thaddeus Ross at this point, or damaging him to create, make him become Red Hulk in the future. Well, Sam has to stop it while also trying to keep the world in order despite the blip causing fractures everywhere.
Yeah, I think there's a lot of potential, and it's a very typical comic book thing to have someone else's villain show up in your thing and, like, you know, you have to deal with it.
I still, despite hating serpents, think the Serpent Society would be the perfect villain for Sam Wilson Captain America right now.
I remember when people were saying that's what the next one was going to be called.
Well, that's what would make sense. There's a lot of villains that would make sense. And it's not a Nazi this time.
We're making improvements.
No, we're not. We're having the leader who's...
We're making slight improvements.
I wonder if he actually is a fan of this franchise. Because I can see it happening.
He's probably seen, like, some. But
maybe he's watched the Captain America films. Or the first one. I could see him, like, the first one at least.
Probably the first, because I think he's worked with Tommy Lee Jones before, so, I mean, that wouldn't surprise me.
Is the first one's the most like Indiana Jones.
Yeah.
It's even about the fucking, you know, religious shit.
I mean, not in the same way.
But yeah, well, it literally is the Red Skull's looking for a religious item.
Yeah.
And it happens to be the Cosmic Cube, the Tesseract.
And then you have Kingdom of the Crystal Skull. Aliens.
Look, man, I don't make the rules. That's our news for the week. That's not bad news week.
No.
Stuff happened.
Stuff did happen.
Hey, Josh.
I don't know.
You know what it's time for?
Things.
She-Hulk and Werewolf by Night.
That's crazy.
Let's talk about She-Hulk first, because it's fresher to me.
Okay.
Spoilers for She-Hulk. Again, there's timestamps down below. You are more than encouraged to skip ahead and then come back later for the rest of the episode.
If you're a dude, bro, the things we're about to rip into the show, gotta be sorry to disappoint you, dude, bro. It ain't happening, dude, bro. Dude, bro.
I love the finale. People are mixed on it because some people say they should be more fourth wall breaking before that to help set it up even better, like stronger fourth wall breaks. And that's even something that the director wished he could have done more of.
I think that it progressed more as the show went on. At least that's how I
agree.
Thought.
But, you know, Jessica Gao, who is the showrunner of the show, wanted to have, like, this level of fourth wall breaking almost the entire time.
Mm-hmm.
One. I like the jump to thinking my Disney Plus is broken. Yeah, I really, really liked the finale of this show. I love that it was about her stakes and her telling the audience, hold on. We're not going to have a big fight here. My stakes are real stakes. These are real problems in my life. Bring it back down a notch. The villain here is misogyny in general, but more so, the villain here doesn't even exist. We don't have a villain. The villain is bad fans demanding things.
Yeah.
Like, there's not a villain of the show because she's just kind of trying to figure out her identity and her life and struggle with these new challenges and accept both parts of herself, which she did in the end when she said both.
That's probably one of my favorite things, because I remember, like, when the show was starting, people were just like, why isn't this building up to anything big or anything like that? But, like, it is. It's on the character side, because this is how television works. This is how characters work.
Have you watched Friends, How I Met Your Mother, The Office, Parks and Rec? The plot's different. The plot is about the characters changing, less about the world changing.
Yeah, not every single thing of Marvel has to, you know, end in a big, giant CGI battle of things. And this show, again, literally points out, it's just like, why does everything have to end like this? Why can't we focus, you know, on me like we're supposed to?
And there are some things that I wish were less glossed over in this show, like the Sokovia Accords being repealed in a one-off line.
I mean, it happens a lot in the MCU.
Or how Titania, any of that, didn't really, none of her make sense to me.
I thought it was funny.
Like, not one second of Titania in the show made any sense. Especially her intro. They never explained her breaking through the wall of the courtroom.
I did want an explanation for that, of what was happening with that.
And it was never touched on again. And that really pissed me off. I'm like, okay, we're not going to have break through the wall. Okay, next episode we're going to pick up and say, here's what happened, why she's there. Any of that? Moving past it. Okay. The whole problem thing of her exposing herself as She-Hulk is Titania breaking through this wall in episode one, and it's never talked about again.
Well, I think I remember the creator was talking about how that episode was different. It was later on in the show. So I think when they had reworked it, I think that part of that got cut. At least that's what I'm thinking happened.
Gotcha. I mean, now it makes sense, but it's still like, oh, why does she have powers? What kind of powers does she have? Why is she... She's a criminal, right? Oh, no? Why does she have a rivalry with her all of a sudden? It doesn't make sense.
Yeah. I mean, I still have fun.
It's a really fun show. I like how everyone thought Leapfrog was going to be Frogman, because they're different characters, genuinely.
I don't know who either of them are, aside from Leapfrog.
Leapfrog is the villain, Frogman is a hero. And they did a good twist, because they both wear the same outfit.
Why?
Family. It's the same family. His dad is usually Leapfrog, and he's usually Frogman. They had a secret lair. That was really fun with that. I love that. He captured a great character, forcing him to sew. Like, it was
very fun. A new costume.
That case, when they brought in Matt Murdock, was fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
Matt's depiction in this is more in character than the Daredevil show was.
I loved it. But it's still, and even though it being, like, more comic accurate, him being more lighthearted, however you want to consider it, it still felt like it was an extension of his Netflix one. It didn't feel like a completely different character.
It's the same character. He's just in a sitcom now. That's fine.
He's had time to actually get better mentally instead of being depressed all the time.
He's wearing yellow now. He's having a good jolly old time.
He did the walk of shame. He's doing great.
He is not ashamed. That was the walk of that was the walk of pride.
Again, Matt Murdock is a whore, and we're fine with it.
Also, he's not, because he's a family man. He came to the cookout at the end.
I love the my mind just seeing that family cookout. I was just like, this is Fast and Furious.
Yeah,
I
love it.
Who's gonna say family?
They mentioned kids. They mentioned grandkids. Favorite moment in this show?
Oh, God, that's so tough.
Or a laugh-out-loud moment, how about that?
What was it? It was the fourth episode was probably the funniest to me.
What was that?
I gotta look it up. That was weeks ago. Madison. That's the fourth episode.
One lie, two ends, but not where you think.
That whole episode, I thought it was so funny.
That dude was really willing to fuck her with demon guts in her hair.
Yep.
I mean, mean green. Okay, I'll talk about the best part of the show to me, and that is the finale. The whole episode.
Oh, yeah.
From the intro, shot for shot, being a pretty much recreation of the 70s Lou Ferrigno Hulk show. Even that chair and the light on her face, the flashes of lightning, and they said the Savage She-Hulk, which is the name of her first comic book appearance. I like how the Hulk got to be incredible. Where She-Hulk was savage. Like, really? Really, Stan?
Savage.
Kind of sexist, but all right. I've read a little bit of She-Hulk. I read the John Byrne part of that run. It's great, and it felt very in character to this show. I loved this. I loved Kevin.
He has a little hat.
He does. Kevin Feige also refused to voice Kevin the Robot.
Ah, that would have been so fun.
I think he didn't want to make fun of himself.
But I love it that the only thing he had a problem with the robot was the hat.
And they still added the brim of the hat into the robot and some red lining.
Oh, God. But that last episode was so creative in ways I wasn't expecting. Because when it was starting, you know, to be the whole big finale of, like, when John Bass's character, you know, hulks himself up, and then Titania shows up, and then Bruce shows up out of nowhere, and going to become this whole thing, I'm just like, are we doing this? And then Jen was just like, are we doing this? I'm like, wait, what? And then she literally busts out of her show on Disney Plus and into the documentary series Assembled.
I thought my Disney Plus kicked out of itself for a second. I was so on board.
I wish that She-Hulk ran to Tatiana Maslany just, like, outside of the show, like, on the lot.
Studying her script or something?
Yeah.
Also, the fact they had to have her transform out of frame because of budget. Great lines there. When she asks, when are we getting the X-Men? She just sits down and gives a thumbs up to the audience. Fantastic. Four. It was a great moment. That half the episode was her just talking to a robot named Kevin. No one talks to Kevin. The best part of that to me is that was the actual Marvel Studios office.
Uh-huh.
That was the actual secretary at the time.
Yeah, I read someone's tweet that, like, works at Marvel. It's just like that NDA. Yep, everyone has to sign that.
Yeah, and that was the actual work at the time receptionist. He's gone since then, mm-hmm. or, like, been promoted. But that's fantastic. Jessica Gao wanted it to be that. If you watched the show, then went to the Marvel Studios, you would see the receptionist be like, wait a minute. And it'd be the same guy. And like, am I in that world? That was the idea of that, which I love.
Mm-hmm. I love seeing a show written by people that are fans of, like, the universe that they're in and actually, like, want to do stuff with it and poke fun at it. Literally, like, week by week, you know, Twitter reacted the way that Twitter was going to, and the show somehow knew it, which is really funny.
Even about other things, like the Thunderbolts announcement being mostly a lineup of super soldiers, and then this show pokes one of, oh, more super soldiers? Isn't that a little derivative? Like, that's, oh my god! It's so brilliantly done like that. I don't know how you predict that far in advance.
This, you got really good writers.
And also, you can just ask Kevin... You can ask Robot Kevin some questions, probably. Say, is this a good thing going to happen this time? Yeah, that makes sense. That would probably work out pretty well. But really well done. I like seeing her super suit in the show.
It's a very good time. Very fun time. Again, if you're a dude bro and you're mad at this and you hate the finale, I hate to say it, but I don't think you quite understood the finale.
Yeah, but also, if you don't like the finale, you're not like an automatic dude bro. You're not an automatic sexist person.
No.
You're allowed to have valid criticisms and just not enjoy something. That's always okay. If you don't enjoy it because of them calling out toxicity and calling out the sexist themes, maybe you're a sexist. Well, the fact that Pug was like, yeah, women suck. Oh, females suck.
That killed me when it's just like, just say female and they'll automatically put you in.
Okay.
I hope that for the next season that we get more, just kind of more with her and, like, you know, like her coworkers and more lawyering, essentially. Because I think that there was a good amount, but I think that there's so much that they could do with it.
I appreciate the balance, for sure, of her personal life, superhero-ish stuff, mm-hmm. and this. I also love that her superheroing was mostly about her law cases and just like, hold on, stop this, please.
Yeah, like, the only time that she did, like, any kind of superheroing was, like, when Wong needed her help, and that was basically it.
And Leapfrog, which was saving someone. She was saving someone who benefited her, and she stopped someone from having a big... like a law case.
I love it when she was fighting Leapfrog and his henchmen, that Daredevil was starting to chime in with, like, legal advice, and Leapfrog was just like, is that guy a lawyer too? He's like, no, I just really like law dramas.
Yeah.
They should bring Megan Thee Stallion back for the next season.
Megan Thee Stallion was hilarious. The fact that they introduced a mutant in this movie, in this show, do you know that?
Who was it? Was it Mr. Invincible?
No, the immortal Mr. Immortal.
Mr. Moral, that's what he's called. Oh.
He's a mutant.
Yeah, Marvel right now is just, like, just casually dropping in mutants. Just like, yeah, here's some.
Yeah, he's in the New Warriors with Squirrel Girl and other characters like that. He's a fantastic character. I mean, he's stupid.
He's very stupid.
He's better than the comic book, but not much better. He's also not usually, like, a 60-year-old man, like, looking wise. He usually looks like he's 25, 30, like most superheroes do tend to look. But I loved it. I love that whole interaction. All the women, like, trying to get what they can from him. That was great. That was fantastic.
I really hope the next season we see even more, like, C and D-list heroes show up. Just, like, because this one show really helped build out this world a lot.
Right, and it's the excuse I always hate of saying mutants couldn't have been there the whole time. Yes, they could have been. Because And people say it's lazy that mutants were always there the whole time. No, that's what makes more sense. We've only focused on this one little family the entire time. It's like, in our entire war right here, it's like if I, right here, living in Virginia, said, if I said, Russians can't exist, I've never seen one. What do you mean? What? Because I'm in Virginia. This is how it works. Like, mutants can exist because we're focusing only on one singular unit of people, pretty much. We're focusing on the Avengers. That's it. And they're silly struggles.
Yeah, it's like, don't expect, like, to watch Moon Knight and suddenly see, like, you know, Charles Xavier show up. That'd be very random.
And in fact, that we're able to introduce more shows with more characters proves that people have been there the whole time.
Mm-hmm.
So there are other characters and other heroes that just exist, and we keep accepting it as they get introduced, but we can't accept it as they've been there the whole time. That's dumb.
Yeah, it's like every Netflix show. Like, they don't ship. You don't have to see the Avengers. Like, they might name drop them, but it doesn't mean that we have to see them to know that they exist.
Or like Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. That's still happening, but like, does it matter? No, it's happening in the background.
Mm-hmm.
It's okay for the less know that things are happening in the outside, and now we're shining some light on it.
Yep.
Bring in the X-Men, as in they've always been there. Please, that'd be really cool.
Yep. Give me Charles Xavier in his stupid giant yellow hover chair. Again, how does he get that thing through doors?
He mind-bends the doors.
How does he get out of it?
He doesn't need to.
Are you telling me that it has a built-in toilet?
Yeah, he just shits in it.
That's... No.
It's just shit in the yellow. That's what... It's because it's yellow. You can pee in it, and it just blends in.
I'm fine with it in, like, a cartoon. I'm not going to question it in a cartoon, but in live action, I got a question.
He has Gene lift him out of it and float him in the toilet. He asked Logan, carry me. Like in the movie Logan. Any other thoughts on She-Hulk besides great?
I've loved it.
It's my number 2 favorite show at this point for Disney Plus.
I go back and forth between if it's Loki or this.
Why I am too, of Loki or that. But number 1 for me is Hawkeye still, and you don't agree, I don't care.
Look, when Christmas season comes around, I'll rewatch it and I'll reevaluate myself to see if I'm still right.
Like your ex commentary.
Look, that was all thing.
Werewolf by Night also happened, and that was another fun thing. It was called a Marvel special presentation. They can get away with a lot of blood for black and white.
I mean, it's black and white. When you have that, you can get away with a lot more.
Like, I watched it with my mom, and she doesn't like violence that much.
Mm.
And she's like, oh god. I'm like, I didn't expect it to be that much. Because we still know what's happening. It's still like decapitations and shit.
Yeah, but limbs get cut off, people get stabbed, like blood hits the screen.
Okay, Josh, what do you think the story was in Werewolf by Night? Spoiler, again, She-Hulk's done, spoilers for Werewolf by Night. If you want to go back in time now, look at the She-Hulk stuff, you can. If you want to go skip forward, if you've seen Werewolf by Night, you can listen to this, but there's always timestamps down below. What's the story, Josh? What happened?
There's people, they like to hunt and kill monsters, and they're just like, all right, we got this magic rock. Whoever kills this monster first gets the magic rock. But one of them is a monster themselves, and they don't know that, except for the monster, because he knows he's a monster.
You should be familiar with that magic rock.
I should?
Absolutely, you should. We've talked about all this podcast before.
Interesting.
Do you remember when we were talking about John Jameson, the astronaut? My son, the astronaut.
Makes more sense now.
Yeah. I remember Morbius, like, put him on him and tried to poison him with that and stuff. Like, yeah. If you go listen to past episodes that you can find in the Super Weird Stories one episode, we talked about the man-wolf John Jameson. And the Bloodstone is part of... He's trapped. It gave him more of his werewolfness. But the Bloodstone family is in this special movie. I'm going to call it a movie. It's a movie.
It's a movie. It's 55 minutes long, but that's a movie.
It is feature length. Good time.
Oh, very.
I don't think it's the best thing I've ever seen.
No.
But it's really fun.
Oh, yeah.
And Michael Giacchino, who is known for composing amazing things like The Apes films, Incredibles, The Batman... other incredible scores, decided to direct. And he directed this.
And he did good.
This has some amazing camera work, some great visuals, amazing composition of shots, beautiful lighting. It's incredible.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the amount of... I guess if you're working in this industry long enough, you know what all the jobs do.
Yeah.
So you can be like, I can try this. And they let him try. I love that.
Yeah.
Also, I'm glad that, like I said before... two or 3 weeks ago, my report was wrong about being half hour and bad. It's not that.
No.
It's longer than that and good.
Yes.
So yeah, the story, Bloodstone was in the family. It does magical monster-y things, and our main guy, Gael, that's the actor's name, Jack Russell, which of course is a joke about Jack Russell Terrier, the dog. You say that ha every time I bring it up.
Oh.
Do you just forget every time?
Maybe.
This is the third episode in a row I've explained that, and Josh is always forgetful. I'm like, huh, that's fun.
Look, it's a nice reset. You get to say the same jokes, and I'll get to laugh.
Jack Russell is a werewolf by night, and he has to free his friend Man-Thing, or Ted. And at the end, we hear Somewhere Over the Rainbow while the color comes in.
Loved it.
It's a good time.
Yeah. I think if the filmmaker part of me, if I'm going to make any stupid complaints, I'll make this stupid complaint. It is very well shot. It's lit very well. But because it was shot digitally and not on film, it looks too smooth. If they were able to, if they got to shoot this on film, then it would truly get that back to like 1930s black and white type of feeling they were going for. But granted, if you don't care at all about it, then it's not going to bother you. It doesn't bother me after like 5 minutes. I had to get used to it.
Also, to be fair, it is taking place in 2022 current, or 2023, yes, or 2024. It's taking place
in whatever current, present day is in Marvel.
Right, it's taking place in current MCU present day. And they show that by even just the clothing they're wearing is very clearly like, this is stuff that you can, that you'd find now.
Mm-hmm.
Like, main girl, who I at first thought was Jessica Jones for half a second. Because the outfit, like, it's black and white. I just couldn't tell as much for like a good 5 seconds. But I'm also kind of face blind sometimes. So sorry, world. I'm not good at faces. What's her name? Oh, Bloodstone is her name, but what's her first name? The character?
I want to say Jess now, but I know that's not it.
Jessica Jones?
No. It was Elsa.
She's good.
Yes.
I thought it was interesting that they all decided to hurt each other in the arena, because they didn't have to.
Mm-hmm.
There was no, like, goal. There was no gaining anything from killing each other, but they decided to kill each other, like, because whoever kills the monster gets a stone, so, and it's your opponent.
Yeah, better chances.
Yeah. Which I think is really fascinating.
Mm-hmm.
And so they could have been like, we can all work together. No. Murder each other.
I think, looking back on it, one of my favorite things is, because of how short this is, I'm very happy that they focused on the characters that they needed to focus on, because there was the other hunters there, but they knew that it wasn't important to, like, focus on them and, like, you know, take the focus away from Jack and Elsa and Ted. I like calling Man-Thing Ted.
And it also alludes to a lot of more weird stuff in the MCU that we have not seen yet.
Yeah, there's a lot of dead monsters in this house, so I really want to see more of that. The action in this was also very well done.
Yes. I'm not tired. Yeah, it was great. Really good time. I heavily enjoyed it. I actually don't have many thoughts on this movie.
I wouldn't say it's like a spooky horror movie. It's like, it's horror movie light.
It fits our last episode criteria of spooky movie better than the horror.
Yeah. Like, it's got the vibes there of the classic monster movies of like Universal, so if you love those, then you would definitely vibe with this. And also, practical makeup. I love it. I'm happy they used it.
Good Wolfie.
It's weird they used that they had a practical Man-Thing stand-in. Yeah, so hopefully when we see Ted again in the future, I hope that they use practical effects.
I wish that they had their costumes with more contrast, though, in this. Some of the production design, some of the... We were working black and white. You can't just dress normally, which
no.
It did mostly just... It felt like it was mostly just dressing normally. That way, on black and white, it will fit and look better, and you can see everything uniquely.
It was probably because they knew at the end they were going to turn it back to color. They made the conscious choice of just being like, because we're going to do that, we kind of had to keep it consistent, because if it wasn't that, it would look weird when you go from, you know, the bright contrast to then all of a sudden, like, you know, that.
So it's kind of a shame on that part, but otherwise, really fun time.
Very fun time.
I want to know how he locked himself up at night. Because he says it once in every full moon, he locks himself up.
Right.
But we saw the cages that he was locked in.
He's probably got, like, a whole system, like, built in, like, his house or something like that that can...
It just fires fire on him or something. fun time.
Yes, I hope we see these characters again in the future.
Would you enjoy more Marvel special presentations?
Yes, but I want...
Give me Dazzler!
But I want it to be something that doesn't need an entire movie for it. Some people were like, this should be origin stories. I'm like... Yes and no, it depends. Like, I think there's, like, fun stories. I saw someone pitch, like, a classic Janet and Hank, Ant-Man and Wasp kind of thing, like showing something back when they were doing, like, I think something like that, that doesn't need to have its own whole thing built in, I think would be a fun thing to do for special presentations. But someone said, like, Nova is now going to be one. I'm like, I feel like Nova should be a movie.
Yeah. We've already seen the Nova Corps, so that's, it should fit, it would fit the movie very well.
Yeah.
That's it for this episode, everyone. Thank you so much for listening to this episode. If you have any comments, questions, or concerns, you can email the show or tweet only Josh directly.
Only me directly. I will respond with inappropriate gifts to the situations.
He only uses gifts. He uses it so much.
Again, it works perfectly for comedy.
Even in sincere conversation, he uses gifts. So you can email the show at podgeekspeak@gmail.com. Or you can tweet at us at #GeekSpeakPod or at GeekSpeakPod on Twitter. We actually have one submission. But yes, we had a submission to talk about the Orville soon by John Coughlin on Twitter. And we'll probably do that at some point. Josh, where can people find you online?
Oh, I'm places on the internet. Mainly the internet.
What?
You can find me on Twitter at @Jay_Rudy28, Instagram, @Jay_Rudy16, YouTube at Josh Rudolph, and TikTok at Rudy_TheFilmNerd. That's my TikTok. I've totally been on that recently.
You can find me on Twitter at TheTheaterNerd. You can find me on TikTok and Instagram at @ThatNerdInTheater. I post content on TikTok the most right now. It's mostly stuff about pop culture and stuff like that on here. But we're also filmmakers, and I have a film right now in post-production. I just saw version 2 of the cut. It's coming along very well. Josh is actually a gaff from that film. It's called Fragile Halls. You can find it on IMDb. That's pretty cool.
Yeah. The lighting in the church is impeccable by me. Totally wasn't done by the sun.
Thank you all so much for listening to this podcast. We really, really appreciate it. If you could follow on or subscribe on any podcast platform that you're listening to right now, it'd be great. Leave a 5-star rating if it's available. And tell your friends. We'd love to get more people listening to the show.
Yes, we would. It'd be nice. Listen with your ear holes.
And on that note, goodbye.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50. Luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Winning is an everyday mindset, and we're here to help. I'm Craig Robinson. Join me and Coach John Calipari for Ways to Win. We're kicking off during March Madness. Cal's Kentucky Wildcats are in the hunt. So throughout the tournament, I'm going to call up my friend to ask about his wins, losses, and especially what he's telling his players in the locker room.
You got to win every day.
Find the Ways to Win podcast anywhere you listen.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.